KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have clear skies. It's currently 65 degrees. We're looking forward to be mostly sunny today, a high of 87. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your local retailer for Sony and Dish Network, and TV and cell phone repair located at 903 East 7th Street in Atlantic. In Western Iowa news, police are investigating the fatal stabbing of a man in central Sioux City. Sergeant Jeremy McClure says the man was killed Saturday night after a fight started over a disputed theft. The man's name and other details have not been released and no arrests have been reported. And jury selection is scheduled to begin tomorrow for the trial of a Nebraska man accused of killing his estranged wife in northwest Iowa. Court records say 29-year-old Rogelio Morales of Hubbard, Nebraska, has pleaded not guilty to a charge of first-degree murder. Prosecutors say Morales killed 21-year-old Margarita Morales on April 19th of 2015 in his car near a Sioux City residence. The case has been delayed several times as defense attorneys have repeatedly withdrawn from representing Morales. Court documents say Morales told investigators a fight broke out when his wife told him she no longer wanted to be in a relationship and that she was seeing another man. Well, a precautionary water boil advisory was lifted late last week over the town of Whiting in northwest Iowa. The Sioux City Journal reports that Whiting City Clerk Marie Bruns LeClaire said that a boil advisory was no longer needed Friday afternoon after an infrastructure repair was completed. Whiting City officials had issued the advisory on Wednesday following a water main break. That break primarily affected properties on the east side of the town of 762. Boiling water was the way to kill bacteria and other organisms and help to ensure the tap water was safe. A loss of water pressure during the water system repairs can sometimes allow bacteria into the city's drinking water, so the boil advisory is issued as a precaution. Elsewhere in the news, Democrat Kim Weaver is dropping her bid for a rematch against U.S. Representative Steve King. The Des Moines Register reports Weaver announced on Saturday she's ending her campaign. Weaver said she is concerned about her mother's ongoing health problems and threats that she has received for her safety. Weaver lost to King in Iowa's 4th Congressional District in 2016. Senator Joni Ernst hosted a gathering in Boone Saturday that featured Vice President Mike Pence, along with assurances from Pence and others that President Trump has made a good start on fulfilling his campaign promises.
In these challenging and divided times, I know in my heart that there are better days ahead.
Pence listed Trump administration accomplishments like placing a new justice on the Supreme Court and undoing the EPA's Waters of the U.S. rule, or WOTUS, that had drawn criticism from farmers. And Pence praised Trump's withdrawal from the Paris Climate Agreement.
How great is it to have a president who's more concerned with Des Moines than Denmark?
Pence was the main draw for the third annual Roast and Ride fundraiser hosted by Senator Ernst. She led a three-mile-long trail of more than 500 motorcyclists on a ride from Des Moines to Boone and then from the main event stage. She praised her fellow Iowa Republicans for their role in the 2016 campaign.
A big hearty thank you to all of the Iowans who made it possible to take back our White House. Thank you so much.
A handful of other statewide officials, like Governor Reynolds, addressed the crowd. Senator Chuck Grassley used part of his time on stage to accuse the nationwide media of not writing about the concerns of grassroots America.
We need to stand very strong, and we need to stand up for the White House whenever we can.
South Carolina Senator Tim Scott made the trek to Boone as well, but downplayed the idea. His visit to Iowa indicates he has White House aspirations of his own. Scott offered another suggestion.
I'm looking forward to the day when Mike Pence and Joni Ernst are on the same ticket.
A few hours earlier, Ernst had been asked if she had any regrets about passing on the opportunity to serve as Donald Trump's vice president.
Never. Never, absolutely not. I think Vice President Pence is tremendous, and he brought a lot to that ticket.
Pence had planned to host a fundraiser of his own on Central Iowa on Saturday before the Ernst event, but the death of the Pence family, or in his family, that has delayed his arrival in Iowa. When Pence did get to the outdoor venue in Boone Saturday afternoon, the Vice President climbed aboard a Harley-Davidson and rode the motorcycle to the stage alongside Ernst. Farm groups and some members of Congress from farm states are decrying proposed cuts to crop insurance and other safety net programs for farmers included in President Trump's budget. The proposed cuts comes as farmers are facing their fourth straight year of falling income. They could partly affect farm states such as Iowa, Kansas, Nebraska that helped Trump win the November election. One proposal would cut the federal crop insurance program by $28 billion over 10 years. Programs that provide crop subsidies would lose $9 billion. But Republican Senator Charles Grassley of Iowa says the crop insurance cuts won't make it through Congress. The Trump administration says the proposed cuts help fulfill a campaign promise to balance the federal budget. The World Pork Expo will draw thousands of agricultural producers to central Iowa this week. The event is being held at the Iowa State Fairgrounds in Des Moines from Wednesday through Friday. Doug Fricke, a spokesman for the National Pork Producers Council, said visitors will see hundreds of booths at the world's largest pork industry-specific trade show.
We've got exhibits in both the agricultural building and the varied industries building, in addition to hospitality tents all the way down Grand Avenue. And then outdoor space located on Rock Island between the Swine Barn and Varied Industries building. We've got a packed trade show.
Last year's show attracted 20,000 visitors from 30 countries and producers from every county in Iowa. Fricke says the event brings together producers and industry professionals from across the globe for 3 days of networking, education, and innovation.
There's always something new to see and unique. That's one of the major draws to the trade show is, some of the things you can read about them, but it's always nice to see them, see how they work and how they operate and how they would fit into an operation on your farm.
There's more to take in at the event than many people can attempt in a day, so he says many producers will attend for a second day.
Company-wide, we have just over 450 companies. That equates to just under 1,000 booth spaces.
And you can learn more at www.worldpork.org. Figures recently released from the Iowa Department of Natural Resources show that wild turkey hunters harvested 11,800 birds this year. Wildlife biologist Jim Coffey says that's 400 below last season.
I think that's just kind of a case of our hunters this year. Our hunters are a little bit beholden to the weather. And our second weekend this year, we had some rainy conditions, and that's typically one of our big weekends to be out hunting. So that was probably what accounted for the little bit of drop.
He says they keep track of turkey numbers every year with a survey.
It varies across the state, and turkeys are kind of a fickle species. They're up and down every year, and that's why we do our summer brood counts to give us an idea of what to expect next year. We expected a little bit of a drop in the southern part of the state, but we had some good numbers in the northern part of the state, and that kind of balances out overall when you talk about statewide averages.
There were about 50,000 turkey tags purchased for the spring hunt, but only a small percentage took home a bird.
Only about 20% of Iowa turkey hunters are going to be successful, and I always like to put it in kind of a sports terminology is we're playing on their home court. They know where the draws and the ravines are at. They're a predator-related species, so they know everything's trying to get after them. So they're always wary, and they've got great senses. So it's not an easy sport to participate in.
And the weather has raised a few concerns about how well the turkeys will fare in raising their offspring.
With any ground-nesting birds, turkeys, pheasants, quail, woodcock, any of those, grouse included, wet, cold springs are always are a big nemesis.
He says wild turkeys are a lot different than the domesticated ones, and their weight can vary quite a bit.
It really depends on if they're shooting a young of the year bird, which we would call a Jake, or an adult bird. A Jake turkey is going to weigh in about 17 pounds, and an adult gobbler is going to weigh anywhere from about 22 to 28 pounds, depending on how active he's been. Male turkeys don't eat a lot during the springtime. They're worried about mating. So those adult dominant birds will actually lose weight during the breeding season.
Hunters are asked to help the DNR with collecting population information during its annual turkey count in July and August. You can do that to the DNR's website or go to that website, I should say, and report online when you see a turkey. That is a check of the news brought to you by the TV Store, your local retailer for Sony, Dish Network, and TV and cell phone repair at 903 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.